As I mentioned this morning, one of the things that I discussed was the age of a man being 70 or 80, sometimes 90 or 100 years of age. And Lord willing, and I'm not asking for accolades, but Lord willing, next Saturday, I will have spent 70 years on this earth. And I wonder sometimes why. I see people that live for many years. Some people die very young. What's the cause for it? So I thought I'd put together something tonight that might help us to appreciate the lives that we live. The outline that I'm using actually came from a preacher up in Tennessee by the name of David Riggs. And I've used a number of his outlines over the years, but I'll give him the credit for it anyway. So, it's his. If we turn over to Psalms, the 90th chapter, and verses 10 through 12. Psalms 90, verses 10 through 12. We find what God has to say about the age of man. He says, beginning in verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years. Well, that's, I've made it. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For is the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. To live a long life, a full life, is a blessing that comes from the Lord. It doesn't make any difference. We have to attribute it to the Lord. God promised a faithful man like Abraham years and years ago that Abraham would live to be a good old age. And if we put a title on this lesson, that's what we could call it, a good old age. And a good old age could be 70 years, it could be 80 years, it could be 50 or 60 years. Whatever age we attain, it could be a good old age. But in Genesis 15, verse 15, God told Abraham, "Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." As God had said, Abraham died when he was a very old man. He didn't live as long as some of his earlier ancestors, but he lived to be an old man. In Genesis 25, verses 7 and 8, Genesis 25, verses 7 and 8, Moses writes, "This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died, and in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people." You know, with the aches and pains that I've got today, I just don't know whether I could stand 175 years. But Abraham lived to be 175 years of age. Yes, it was a good old age. A high priest by the name of Jehoiada was blessed because he had done good to Israel. If we turn over to 2 Chronicles, the 24th chapter, verses 15 and 16... we find, "But Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and his house. So God is behind these people who lived to a good old age. He's behind it. God blesses the faithful with long life. I believe that. Scripture tells us. If we turn over to Psalms, the 91st chapter, and verses 14 through 16. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life, for I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God said he would give him a long life. But please notice what else is said in these few verses. Notice the other blessings that are found in the text, which are for the person who is a faithful individual toward God. First of all, let us set our love on God and truly know His name. This is one of the things we tried to point out this morning a little bit. We need to know God. We need to know what God expects of us, and we need to know what we have to do to be pleasing to Him. As David said in verse 14, I will set him on high because he has known my name. David knew the name of his God. David thanked his God for many, many things. David lived a life that was consistent with what God wanted him to live for the most part. So David truly knew the name of his God. Let us set our love on God and truly know his name. We owe it to God to do that. We do this by keeping his commandments, by abiding in what he says. You know, there's many people that we come in contact on a daily basis who claim that they know God. They claim that they love God. And yet they do whatever they want. In 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5, it's a familiar passage. John writes, "Now by this we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments, he who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." So all these friends and neighbors and associates that we come in contact with on a daily basis to say, "Yes, I know God. I love God." And yet they go out and do whatever they want to, live the type of life that they want to, don't attend worship services, don't attend the church of the Lord. How can they say they know Him when they don't keep His commandments? They don't keep His commandments. Those who call upon God will receive help from Him too. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, in verses 12 and 13, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." There's a part that man has to do in order to show that he knows the name of God. There's something that he must do to prove to God that He is who He says He is. In James 5 verse 16, James says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of righteous man avails much. And that's one of the things we talked about this morning. We need to pray. We need to pray to our God. He is there, and even though He knows what we want, even though He knows what we need to ask Him. Talk to Him like we would our own fathers. Talk to Him like we would any other individual. He's there. He expects us to talk to Him. So we must know His name. Over in Job, the 5th chapter, verses 26 and 27. Job, the 5th chapter, and verses 26 and 27. You shall come to the grave at a full age. As a sheaf of grain ripens in its season, behold, this we have searched out. It is true. Hear it and know for yourselves. So those who serve the Lord, those who praise God and serve Him as they're supposed to serve Him, would come to a grave at a full age, according to what Job is telling us. A harvest passes with many adversities before it finally comes to the time when you reap the crops. Some of you have gardens. Some of you may have grown up on farms and know what it's like to raise crops. You know that you plant or put seeds in the ground and you wait. And you wait. You've got to have rain. You've got to have sufficient moisture from time to time. You may have varmints that come in and eat the seeds. I remember my brother telling me about a garden that he had. Had to put an electric fence around it just to keep the deer out. But he thought he was smart. He put that electric fence up something like 8 feet. Raccoons come in under the low rung of the barbed wire. And they got at the end of one row and he right down, picked up every seed that he put in the ground. So you're going to have varmints that come in and work on your plants. Work on your gardens. Still, you're waiting for the harvest. It survives the attacks of worms and insects and diseases. It survives many disturbances like wind, hail, and lack of rain. But finally, it comes time to reap that crop. Time of reaping. Well, the plant has done what we asked it to do, what we wanted it to do. Well, our earthly life is very much like that. We pass through changes over and over throughout our lives. Some of them we can control, some of them we have no control over. There's always the danger of sickness and accidents and diseases. Eventually, though, we'll come to an end. As the wise man writes in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Yes, those who serve the Lord come to the grave at a full age, a time to die. A full age. In Proverbs, the 10th chapter, verse 27. Proverbs 10 and verse 27. One other thing that can prolong our lives is the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? To be terrified of Him? No. To stand in awe? Yes. To love Him? Yes. Fear the Lord will prolong the days, as the wise man says in Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. How does the fear of the Lord prolong one's life, you might ask? Those who fear God serve God. Those who fear God want to serve God. Peter writes, 1 Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each man, each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Get our lives straight. Fear the Lord. Be in awe of the Lord. Luke 1 verse 50, and His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. That's not something that one person can do and the rest of the family reaps the reward. It's something each and every one of us has got to do. Fear Him and keep His commandments. Regarding the wicked, as the psalmist says in Psalms 55:23, but You, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction, bloodthirsty, and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in You. Ecclesiastes 8:12-13. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will He prolong their days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. Fear God. And as I mentioned at the start, some people live 70, 80 years, 90, 100. And some people live only a short time. We're so struck when a young person dies, passes on to eternity. We see young people today who live as if though there is no eternity. Of course, by the same token, we see old people, older people, who live the same way, as if there is no eternity. But one thing we need to keep in mind, and one thing we need to realize, irregardless of what the age may be, each one of us, God stays the coming of the Lord. Each one of us is going to die. If we turn over to Hebrews 9, our 9th chapter, verse 27, it is appointed to men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And brethren, how are we going to die? Are we going to die in the Lord, or are we going to die out of the Lord? Because that's going to determine where we spend eternity. It's wonderful and a glorious thing to die in the Lord. John writes in Revelation 14, verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. That's a blessing to die in the Lord. Psalms 116, verse 15. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. Something we have to ask ourselves. Am I in the Lord? Am I a saint in the Lord? To be able to depart and be with Christ is a wonderful thing, as Paul told the Philippians. In Philippians 1, beginning in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 6 through 10. So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Because of human nature, brother, it's hard to accept the passing of a loved one. Even when we know that the loved one was a faithful Christian, it's still hard on us who remain behind. No matter what we might say, death is still a very hard ordeal for all human beings. And in time of grief and sorrow, let us remember that God is the supreme source of all comfort. And let us seek Him for the comfort that He is willing to give. He lifts up those who are cast down. David says in Psalms 55 and verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So let us find solace in God. Let us find comfort in God. Let us live a life in God. Let us live to a good old age by being pleasing to God. If there's anyone here who needs to render obedience to the gospel call this evening, we hope that something said make you think seriously about it. Hearing the word, believing it, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of your sins, being buried with Him in baptism. That's all that God asks. Or if you've done so and you've fallen short some way and it's of public nature and you need to make that known, then by all means do so as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.